Good evening. I think we all recognize that Zazen can provide us with very practical help in our everyday life. Quiet meditation can calm the mind and help relieve anxieties and stress, and it can help us see things without emotion, enabling us to better be able to solve the problems of our daily life and to take care of various situations. So, in the recent years, maybe in the past 20 years, meditation has become mainstream. Not a fringe activity, and has gained in interest and popularity. Many people are drawn to meditation these days, but the emphasis of our practice is not just practical matters. Our practice has never been intended to help us or to help individuals work through their rough spots, their difficult times. That may happen, but that's not the primary emphasis of our practice. The point of our practice is to express our unlimited self, our inherent unlimited self, and to express our original way of life. So when we practice, we have to know a little something about the true meaning of our practice and not see it in a limited way. Our practice, the true practice, includes sitting with the right posture. And when we say right posture, it doesn't mean that the elbow is exactly 1.5 inches away from the side, or that the gaze of the eyes is exactly 36 degrees down. Not right in that way. Right posture means we make our best effort when we assume this posture. True practice also includes sitting with a right attitude. And simply speaking, it means to sit without any idea of personal gain from our practice. And again, true practice includes sitting with right understanding, which doesn't mean holding on to a store of knowledge or information and understanding things in that way, but to feel and to have an intuitive sense of unlimited mind. Right understanding is to trust in our unlimited mind. So we really need to, for our own sanity, we need to trust the unlimited mind and the unlimited way of life. And nobody can teach it to us. This trust is inherent, that this trust is natural if we give it a chance. So we cannot understand unlimited mind through our thinking mind, not through the intellect and not through the emotion. Can we understand our unlimited self? And this is because the experience of our unlimited mind is beyond our usual experience, beyond time and space, and beyond good or bad. The experience of our unlimited mind is a sense of things as they are, beyond discrimination, beyond judgment, and beyond opinions, and beyond feelings, beyond all that. Those things that we carry around with us all the time and use so frequently throughout the day. Those things have to be set to rest for a time if we are to experience our larger self. So we cannot understand things as they are with our ordinary mind. Ordinary mind being full of so much. And to hope for or to try to gain logical understanding of our bigger self is a mistake. It's a misorientation and will only lead to discouragement. We can't pursue something in that way. So how do we do it? If we can't use our thinking mind that we are so familiar with, we have to trust. We have to place our confidence in our unlimited mind without reservation. And the only way to encourage this trust is through our selfless practice, our unselfish practice. So, the attitude that we need to find in our practice, this soft, non-grasping attitude, it's a bit like true love, true love for someone or something. When there is true love, when you have true love for someone, you simply accept someone just as they are. Accept them as they are. Your heart is fully open. True love means accepting someone as they are without looking for perfection in them. Not trying to change them. You know, it's without insisting that they have a particular quality that you feel you're entitled to. If you feel you in love with someone, feel strongly about them, but continue saying, why isn't he like this? Why doesn't she have this quality? And this puts a limitation on your deep feeling for someone, to insist they have a quality that pleases you. This is a misunderstanding. And our practice is like that. Just trust. No striving for perfection. Just trust. So acceptance, full acceptance of someone just as they are, means we don't place limits on our feelings for them. We don't hold back our feelings for someone if we really want to accept someone. And by not holding back, we can have a very big feeling, not just small feeling. And when we have this big feeling, we no longer have a concern for expectations. And we want them to be this way, or we hope, we wish they were that way. And those kinds of expectations and desires create a wall. So this deep trust in our unlimited mind and in our love for someone cannot exist in the intellectual mind, which is always limited by notions, by ideas of its objective self. Some image we have. Our objective self is always burdened by desires and gain, ideas of gain for itself. This is the objective mind. But the unlimited mind, the mind without limits, is a giving mind. It is the way of the open heart. And that's where we find our true practice and where we find our true love for someone or something or for the entire world. So we always talk about the limits of our logical mind and our logical way of seeing the world. And we say that logical, objective mind only sees things outside itself. The logical mind sees objects, sees the objective world. But the unlimited mind includes everything within itself. No separation. The unlimited mind sees beyond the limitations of the objective mind. So we come to this practice to cultivate unlimited mind. The unlimited mind exists in all things, is present everywhere. Even though we may never have an objective experience of it, we trust that it is everywhere. In this day and age, it is difficult for us to give up ideas of attainment and of gaining things. It's where we are in our evolution as a species, especially here. Gain, attainment, reaching goals. It's part of our diet. But we have to give it up. We have to give them up, at least for a time, if we want to have a sense of our unlimited self. So to understand the unlimited mind, we must practice. And little by little, you know, not all at once, little by little, the mind can start to drop off its limitations of how it sees things and what it is attached to. So, the point of our practice is not to gain relief from stress, or it's not to gain understanding. Our practice is simply to see things as they are, inherently, without anything added, without adding judgment, without interpretation or comment or spin, but to see things just as they are, unadorned. So here's a story that comes from ancient China, Zen story. A monk goes to see his teacher, and he says, "Master, I have been studying with you for a very long time, yet I am unable to understand your way. Why is this?" And the master says, "Where you do not understand, there is the point of understanding." Well, typical Zen story from China. But in this story, we see that the monk was very sincere with his teacher. He was willing to show his confusion. And so he put his trust in his teacher. And by trusting his teacher in this way, he was trusting himself, laying himself open, trusting himself, not holding back. So he was admitting to his lack of understanding. He was recognizing his delusion, which in itself is wisdom. So the teacher was saying, when you don't understand, that is the point of understanding, meaning when you recognize that you don't understand, and you admit and you confess that you don't understand, that is wisdom itself. That honesty and that clarity is wisdom itself. And that recognition of your not understanding is a reminder, a wake-up call, to put emphasis on your practice and on your mindfulness, to return to awareness of your breath, and to have continuous awareness of everything. So when we ourselves recognize that we are frustrated because we don't understand this practice, or we don't understand something, we don't understand the way, and it bothers us. When we understand our frustration, at that moment of recognition, we need to admit, I've been striving to gain something, and I haven't gained anything. This is what the teacher was trying to tell him. Recognizing our delusion is the start of our wisdom. It's the starting point. It is the reminder to put our emphasis on mindfulness and selflessness and on our continuous awareness of things. This understanding, or this, the way the practice emphasizes this orientation, is quite unusual in today's world, where we are concerned about meeting our goals, gaining more and more knowledge. And when we come up against some difficulty, we say, well, I'm just going to push right through this. This is our way. But our practice tells us, when we come up against a frustration or a disappointment or what looks like a roadblock, it's important that we say to ourselves, I don't get it. I'm missing something. And that's okay. That admission and that the renewal of sincerity that comes from that recognition and that admission is the basis of our wisdom. So the master said to him, where you do not understand, there is the point of understanding. That point, that moment. So we can't always know everything, and it's important for us to say, I'm confused. I don't get it. But it's all right. And to be honest about that, and not to make believe that it's not a problem. So if we're frustrated by our not understanding, we just say, I will take care of it. I will continue to practice unlimited mind, and I will take care of it. This attitude is the start of wisdom. And this is a basis of our practice. Does anyone have a question? Yes, Steve.
Les, many people, when they first hear about ideas like acceptance, non-judgment or not striving, think that this is simply setting the stage for indifference, apathy. How can one explain that that is not the case?
Mm-hmm. Don't try to explain. Better is to demonstrate. If we try to explain, we run the risk of arrogance. And it's... But if we simply demonstrate our practice, there's humility there, and not arrogance. So explaining is a bit dangerous.
I read a statement once from someone who said, "My friends love it when I'm Buddha, they just hate it when I'm a Buddhist."
That's right. It's a
why did Bodhidharma come from the West? No west, no east, and no north or no south.
This was Bodhidharma's idea of things. Yes, please.
How do I create trust in unlimited mind?
How do you create it?
Trust in unlimited mind. In mind, yeah.
You cannot create trust. This is a Silicon Valley kind of idea. What can I create? How can I create? The unlimited mind is already present. You just have to let it express itself. But once you insert the notion of me or you, you close it down. So just rest easy in it. Let it show itself. Thank you. So, do we have any announcements tonight? Lee.
Tomorrow we're having a garden work day after the 9:30 meditation, so it'll be from 10:30 to about noon, and everybody's welcome to join in if you would like to be outdoors and help take care of our beautiful grounds here at Canada. So we'll meet up in the courtyard at about 10:30 tomorrow, and then we can make it.
Saturday.
Oh, tomorrow, yeah. Thank you. It is Saturday, not tomorrow. Saturday, after Saturday meditation.
She can't wait.
She can't. I'm just so anxious for it.
Good. Okay, Garden Day this weekend. Thank you.
So,
I have one. You have
one? Okay. So then, 2 weeks, August 13th, we're going to hold a day-long meditation retreat here in Kanjo.